Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Pinchas. Summer is happening at Pardes, and if you'll be in Jerusalem anytime this summer, I urge you to stop by. There are plenty of programs, including the Wednesday night weekly learning series. And also, if you'll be in Jerusalem for Tisha B'Av, there'll be a full program at Pardes. Check out our website, pardes.org.il, for full details. This week, Pinchas with Rabbi Daniel Landes. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha, Pinchas, offers us a flashback to an earlier parsha. This week's parsha, Pinchas, gives us a flashback to Korach, and we should be in the strife and the difficulties. We have our own flashback right now in Israel. This is a year since the war in Gaza, or the incursion in Gaza, and what Israel did. And in honor, I put it in quotation marks, in honor of this, UN put out a disastrous report condemning Israel, which I think is greatly mistaken. And it's mistaken just for one fact and one fact alone. The people that sat on the report, none of them are generals, none of them know the fierceness of battle. I'm certainly not one to comment on that, but I don't know. And certainly the people, however, wrote the report do not know that. And therefore, they could not appreciate the situation Israel was in. And they also could not really understand the difficulty that Israel had in responding. And Israel responded with great restraint, but at the same time defending itself. I won't go into that, but this notion of a flashback. The flashback, and this will be relevant. The flashback is from this week's parsha. This week's parsha, Pinchas, gives a whole rundown of all the great leaders of the community and the members of the community. It's a kind of a list of names and numbers. In the middle of that, it talks about, it says in chapter 26, and we start on verse 9, very much at the beginning of this response, and talking about the family of Reuven, the natural-born leader of the Jewish people. And the tribe lost its leadership, complete leadership role, but nonetheless it retained the aura of leadership, and where that also went wrong. Because it says there in verse 9, V'datan v'aviram yatsu nitzavim petach ohalehem u'neshehem u'vineyem v'tapam. That's the quote from Korach. I'll come back to that quote. I apologize. Let me give the quote again from 9. Hu datan v'aviram kurei ha'ida asher hitzu al Moshe v'al Aharon b'adat Korach v'atzatam al Hashem v'titach ha'aretz apia v'tivra otam. And it continues, u'v'nei Korach lo meitu. This verse tells us the sons of Eliav, Nemuel, Datan, and Aviram. Who's this Datan? This is Datan and Aviram, regularly summoned to the congregation, meaning they were important people, but who strove against Moshe and against Aharon in the company of Korach when they strove against the Lord, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korach when that company died. And at the end of that, but the children of Korach did not die. So there was a complete death to Datan and Aviram's family, but not to the sons of Korach. Datan and Aviram were co-conspirators, but the real conspirator was Korach. Datan and Aviram's children were consumed by the fire, but Korach's children were not, by the earthquake fire that came together, that full consumption. And now I'll come to the flashback. I gave the verse a little bit earlier, and I'll give it and now translate. But Datan and Aviram, and this is before chapter 16 of Bamidbar in the parasha of Korach, v'tatam v'aviram yatsu nitzavim petach ohalehem u'neshehem u'vineyhem v'tapam. Then when Moshe came, and Moshe really begged the people, and begged and implored and pleaded with those who were rebelling, and said, and telling them, don't do it. Leave this whole arena. Datan v'aviram stood their ground. Nitzavim stood their ground by the opening of their tents, and with their wives and with their children and with their youngest sucklings, the infants, the newborn infant, newborn babe. And as Rashi explains, Heim yatzu nitzavim b'komaz z'kufa l'gadei f'charef. They were standing their ground fully erect in order to blaspheme, in order to destroy the structures of society, of Jewish society. A terrible moment. And notice the verse, they took with them even those suckling infants. They took them to the Hafganah. They took them to the demonstration. This is all Torah that I learned from my grandfather, the Menachem Sion. And they did this against Moshe and Aaron. It was not only their older children, but it was everyone else. And they stood to the last moment. And therefore, their entire end was Vayirdu Haim V'choshir Lahem Chayim Sha'olah V'tichas Lahem Ha'oretz V'yavdu B'tocha Kahal. And they descended, all them, all those who were there, they descended alive to the bottomless pits of the abyss, and the earth covered them over, and they were destroyed. They were lost, but completely lost from the congregation. They're gone. Kulam, it says there. All of them. Not a fair thing that the young sibling, the young children, and the youngest of the young children were part of it. This is kulam completely and fully, and all of them. This is as my grandfather, bless him, memory, said, aveda sheina chozeret. This is a loss from which you can't recover. It's finished. But who's to blame? Well, certainly in that situation, who's to blame is the parents who took them into this. Those leaders who took people into the abyss, who take them into the demonstrations, who teach young children to be hateful, to teach young children to want to grow up as fighters and to be martyrs in terrorist attacks. Destruction results. Who brought them to this abyss? Who brought them there? Their parents, their leaders. Yes, innocence among them, and we'll come back to that as well. But nonetheless, that's the situation. The Torah teaches us almost an obvious fact that parents have responsibility. Parents who vote, parents who have leaders. Leaders have responsibility for their people. The fact that many welcome the abyss is unfathomable to us, that they would take them to a place where there are a loss of count of the fathoms, uncountable fathoms. On the other hand, B'nai Korach lo metu. Children of Korach didn't die. The Jewish tradition is that at the time of the disagreements, of the terrible fight, of the civil rebellion, they declined to stand there as part of the demonstration with their parents. And as a result, we even have the following Midrashic comments. And this is actually the Yalkut Shimoni on Psalms, according to that numbering. It's Psalms 7, not the name of the psalm, but the numbering of 747, citation. And referring to the verse, the first verse is Psalms 45, Lam Natseach al Shoshanim Livnei Korach, a song directed to the chief musician regarding the lilies in honor of the children of Korach. And here is the Midrash. Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Kol mi sheroeh otam omer kotzim heim. Lama? Shayuim ha-kotzim. Umad darchan shekotzim l'esh. V'chein u'omer kotzim kesuchim ba'esh yitzetu. Kotziv ve'esh yatzad l'fnei Hashem. Rabbi Pinchas, not the Pinchas of the Parsha, but it's nice that name is used here. Whoever used to see the B'nai Korach, the children of Korach, would say, ah, these are the nettles. These are the thorns. They're part of this anti-Moshe, anti-Aharon revolution, subversion. Why are they called nettles? Why are they called thorns? Shayum im hakotzim, because they associated by being children, by being young adults, with the real thorns and nettles, which was Korach. And just as the association is, that nettles and thorns are great to throw into the fire. You hear the cracking. And that's the verse from Isaiah 33, that nettles are almost made for fire, meaning they're instantly flammable. They rise up fast, and you're happy when they are when they are burnt up because no one wants a nettle in their and you're out in the desert, you don't want it in your sleeping bag. You don't want to have nettles in your sleeping bag. You don't want thorns in your sleeping bag. They are darkan shel kotzim la'esh. The way of kotzim is to go to fire. If anything is burning, if you have kotzim, and you know this, if you have dry nettles nearby, they will take fire. It's a little bit problem that they explode. And that's kotzim kotzuchim ba'esh. They burn up very quickly in fire. Well, that's the verse that we saw in the destruction of Korach. The Eitz Yatzah Lifnei Hashem, and a fire went out before God. Fire was part of this whole experience with the earthquake. The Midrash continues, V'nei Korach Hayu Shoshanim, V'nilketu Me'b'neihem, V'kafas Kodesh Baruch Hu V'hitzilam. And B'nei Korach were Shoshanim, they were lilies, V'nilketu mei beinehem, I should read. And they were gathered from the midst. And Kodesh Baruch Hu jumped and saved them. And the verse that's used in this midrash, another verse from the beginning of Song of Songs, Dodi yorah l'gano l'arugat t'bosem, l'ra'ot b'ganim v'lilkot shoshanim. My beloved, he went down to his garden. He went down to this fragrant, fragrant garden to walk amongst the flowers and to pick, gather together the Shoshanim, the lilies. They became lily white. They became not attached to the sins and to the revolution. We should look at them differently. And therefore, the B'nai Korach were of that way. Once they were detached, God himself, according to the image projected by the Midrash, it's kind of like, think of a theme park ride in which you have Korach Ve'edato, Korach and his co-conspirators. They're going down in the down elevator, surrounded by fire. Everyone's going to their disaster. Because Baruch Hu goes down himself, not just reaches down, but goes down himself and raises them to save them. Amru B'nai Korach, who B'nai Korach had said, we are lilies. And Akosh Baruch Hu has said back, all this in the Midrash. Nizchaktem l'netzeach al shoshanim. You've won. You've proven yourself. I shall save you. And as I do so, I shall sing the song to the lilies. You are the lilies. And I'll sing the song to you and bring you forth. Whoever does tshuva from a sin that's in his hand. Tshuva me'aveiras shebiyado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only saves him, but he continues according to Shem Chaviv. He calls him by a dear name. Come and see regarding B'nai Korach, the sons of Korach. When they, before, Ad Shalo Asu Tshuva, Lo Nikru Shoshanim V'Yedim. Before they did Tshuva, they were not called Shoshanim. They weren't called lilies. They weren't called dear ones. Mesha Asu Tshuva, Nikru Shoshanim V'Yedim. When they did Tshuva, they were called lilies. They were called dear ones. And indeed, we were successful with B'nai Korach. From B'nai Korach came Shmuel, the prophet Samuel, whose whole life was Sha'ul Hashem, was on permanent loan to God, as it says in the beginning of the book, called by his name. And as the Talmud, as Midrash says, Midrash Tanchuma this time, She'er Shakul K'negan Moshe V'Aaron, just as great as Moshe V'Aaron. Citing the song, this part of Psalms, Tehillim Tzadi Tet, Psalms 99, Moshe v'Aaron b'cho anov, Moshe and Aaron were the greatest amongst the priests, u'Moshe u'Shmuel b'kruei Shemo, or b'korei Shemo, and Shmuel as the representative of those who call out in God's name, represents those who call out in God's name, he is as great as them. And so from B'nai Korach came these terrific leaders of the Jewish people. That's what it says in Jeremiah. Therefore says God, if you will return, I'll bring you back. You'll stand before me. And we'll take out that which is precious from that which seems to have been only wreckage. And that's the other part. Amongst those who survive and those who have to rebuild their lives in difficult places such as Gaza, we can look forward to looking, and Israel needs to be part of this, of finding those children who themselves are lily. They're not part of what they have, having been brought there, having been brought there by their leaders. They are separate. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't demand a great tshuva. All he demands is a disassociation from the pathways of the wrongful ones. The Gemara's Shabbat around Kuf Dalad makes the comment on this language of Jeremiah that our task, listen to the Talmud, is lahotzi yakar mizolel, lahafoch kotzim l'shoshanim, l'yanim evyonim l'yididim, to take out the precious from the wreckage or from the chaff, to turn thorns into lilies, and to turn haters into friends. Not an easy task, but the Torah doesn't give us easy tasks. I wish you Shabbat Shalom, and thank you again.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.